For my whole career, I've used D'Addario strings.
This is the one that I use live with Megadeth, and I love it.
I've been with D'Addario my whole career, even when I was playing bass in Van Halen. D'Addario for life. And I say it right, D'Addario.
Gentlemen, what's the quickest way to improve your tone?
Oh, like and subscribe on YouTube.
Obviously, yeah, we'll keep you up to date on all that great gear that's out there. Yeah.
Back to the Rig Rundown. Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys, four from Your Guitar, hanging out at the Eastside Bowl, just outside Nashville in Madison, Tennessee, my hometown. I'm here with Kirk of Crowbar. Kirk, how you doing?
I'm doing great, other than a bit of respiratory stuff.
You got the tour?
Yeah, funk. I mean, we've done, I don't know, like 27 shows in 24 days.
You did two yesterday.
We did two yesterday.
What was that about?
Well, they're selling out, so we had another one. It sells out, so we play them.
Yeah, man. Congrats on this. Yeah, you're sold out tonight here in Madison. This is awesome.
It should be great.
What's it been like, you know, going on the tour, and then obviously with your NOLA friends, I Hate God bandmate, Jimmy Bauer playing guitar in that band, you know, getting travel with friends?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we did a tour together in August, and you know, we've done tours over the years and shows and stuff here and there. And I mean, I started first jamming with Jimmy Bauer and for 39 years ago, 1987.
Wow.
So, yeah, we go back a long, very long way.
Time flies.
Yes, it does.
Well, speaking of friends, I actually got to do a Rig Rundown not that long ago with Shane Wesley, who's in Acid Bath. Yeah. And I asked him, and I'll pose the same question to you. What's it about that community in NOLA where all these bands came out of around the same time? You guys cross-pollinated, but everything stays in its own lane. Everyone sounds their own way, but you all work together and swim in the same waters. It's such a, seems like a collaborative area.
It's probably because it's such a small geographical town.
Yeah.
And people think New Orleans is this big city. It's not. I mean, the actual city of New Orleans only has like a 500,000 or so people, you know? Yeah. But I mean, we all are more suburb people, most of us, but I don't know. I mean, it's never been like jealousy or tension between bands like you see in a lot of other scenes. And like I tell everybody, and this doesn't just go for the New Orleans scene, it goes for anybody that plays music. At the end of the day, we're all in this crazy business together, so why fight about shit? Help one another out.
Yeah.
Be positive with it, man.
Well, right on. Tell me about your guitar. I know that you've played all sorts of guitars through your career, and you've had, you know, any changes that you've made, you chase in tone. So currently with Solar, how did that you know, friendship start?
Oh my God, a contact for Greg. I don't want to pronounce your name wrong, Greg, but he's been working with Ola for a long time. And, you know, I got his contact from a guy. So I hit him up and asked if he'd be interested in, you know, let me check out some stuff. He sent me a guitar, I loved it. He said, would you like a signature series? And that's my E-body, my six-string E-body, which I'm in the process of changing strings on in the back. But anyway, so they sent me the prototype, and I loved it. Then he said, maybe we make, because that's just a one pickup, one volume knob. He goes, maybe we do another one with our new X shape, and we make it a little more versatile with two pickups, volume and tone. And I said, sure. So right now I'm using this. It's kind of my main one with Crowbar.
Okay.
I also have one with down. That's an E shape. They flipped the headstock for me. It's more vintage tobacco sunburst with the cream binding and shit. And it plays and looks great. But yeah, I absolutely love the guitars. I mean, my rig stuff is so simple. It's the Solar guitars with Crowbar. That's all I do with Crowbar. And as far as, you know, amps, well, I'm currently using...
Yeah.
I got a Kemper in here as a backup, which has it's a model of an Engel. And then in my quad cortex, it's the Bogner, basically the Bogner Ubershaw head with a tube screamer on front and a little bit of EQ. And then our sound guy for down, who also does Pantera, Black Label, Zach Sabbath, you name it. He recommended these things. He said, you're not gonna believe the difference it makes. And it really, that being the tube,
the fryer here?
Amplifier, yes, it really crushes.
Huh.
So it really gives me the tone I'm looking for. And I mean, with Crowbar, we like to say we paint with one color.
Got it's one just, brush.
I mean, you get this. And that's it.
Why do you need any other colors when that's
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's black enough.
What do you...
Which is not a color, by the way.
Could be. What are you looking for in a guitar? You've had all this road experience, all these years playing guitars. What are you looking for? What do you want in a feel? What's your connection to the guitar
honestly,
that you want?
The three main things for me are it sounds good, plays good, and stays in tune well.
Okay.
Because, you know, you'd be surprised, especially with some of these older guitars.
They're cranky.
You know, yeah, especially without tuning and all. Like, I refuse. I'm a modern guy. I'm not going to ever do the seven string.
I was going to ask. I never thought.
Even though we tuned to B standard and we dropped to A on some stuff, I'm a six string. I mean, I started playing guitar at age 12 in, 1977. So all this drop tune shit was nowhere around. So, but yeah, man, this setup for me works perfect. Matt's got the Kemper. And like I said, I've got the Kemper in here too. That's kind of my backup. And I do have the Seymour Duncan PowerSlow 700 for a backup to this. And that's kind of my fly rig.
Okay.
It's like my wife will put one, Robin will put one overhead, and I'll put this one overhead or vice versa. And that's my amp for the gig.
Yeah.
Know? So, but it works for me. I mean, that's as far as cabinets go, I have a little bit of everything. This is a local company from New Orleans called Sonic Tone. And Nick from Sonic Tone, he hand builds all this stuff.
Oh, cool.
Himself, it's basically hot rodded Marshall amps. I have three of his 81 classic heads that sound basically like hot rodded JCM
800s. Yeah.
He makes quite a few different amp models. And but I'm using his cab, which is like the birch wood. It's got I got vintage 30s in
okay.
it. So that's kind of been my go-to speaker for most of my career.
I'm going to dial in a little bit further. What are you looking for when speaking specific to Crowbar for the sound? What are you looking for, like, a lot of low end? Are you looking for some mid-range punch? What do you need out of your rig?
I mean, you got to have low end. You got to have mid. But, you know, I used to be guilty of too much low end and too much muddiness in my tone. Now I think I'm getting deafer, but I think I'm learning
and that changes how we perceive it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, apparently it's working. It really sounds killer to me. And all the sound guys are like, dude, I don't even have to EQ your rig. It sounds great coming through the fucking mic. So.
What about pickups? I know you've played all sorts of pickups, passive, active. Looks like these are passive again.
Yeah, I was rolling with the EMGs for a while. Then I switched over to passive with down. And so this is a Duncan Invader and I think a JB59 or something.
Okay.
But Pepper Keenan and I found a guy out of Baton Rouge that builds pickups. His name's Jeff. It's Carondelet pickups.
Yeah, he did the acid bath.
And they're fucking amazing. So we basically got him to build us an Invader that, you know, when Jeff left the room, we're like, Pepper's like, what do you think? I said, we're A-B-ing between, you know, the Seymour Duncan and the Carondelet, and I'm like, I can't tell the difference. He's like, me either.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm like, you know, so he really does a great job. So I'm excited to get home with him and get some more of the Carondelet stuff. He really does a great job.
Now, what can you tell us about Down? Bringing up Pepper, what's going on in the Down world? What can we expect? Maybe some special surprises by the end of the year.
Well, a new album by the end of the year.
So it will come out.
Yes.
Great.
Not sure when, but. We're in the process of talking about what songs to do videos for, when we can find time to do the videos.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, with everybody, there's so much going on. I mean, with Pat Brut as our bassist, is also Down's bassist.
Yeah.
Jimmy Bauer from IA God is our drummer for Down. So we got three of the five Down guys out here.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, it's a lot of work everybody's doing constantly, man.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to get it do the best we can. Get it all set up. We got some European festival dates, a couple of festival dates in the U.S., and looks like we're doing like a August into early September-ish, like kind of short, you know, 15, 16 shows or something with Down in the U.S.
Oh, cool.
Right on. And then with Crowbar, I think it's been announced, but we're going out with Dying Fetus in late September and October. So and
you got
then,
a busy year.
Yes. And then a lot of other little stuff in the works. But yeah, the only, looking at my schedule, at the beginning of the year, the only month I had nothing to do was January, and that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, so, I bet.
So from here on out, it's work, work, work.
Now, you know, this is a Curl Bar show, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, how does this rig kind of, I know there's probably a little bit more colors you paint with in down, but how's the core basics reflected in a down rig? Are you going to be running with this?
I mean, Pepper and I are talking about, because of the Fryet and how much it does, and he loves a quad too, we could, you know, run a combination of a few different things, but at this point, I mean, you know, you can EQ things a bit differently, and this is just so simple.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. That's still to be discussed, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing the trusty Quad Cortex and the Seymour Duncan on the flights, and if they get me a JCM 800 or something and it sounds like shit, a lot of times the back companies don't keep up with the tubes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely.
And I'm using that, and that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
That'll have to work. But that's pretty much all, man. I use DR strings. 13, 17, 26, 36, 46, 60. And I use 0.60 Tortex picks. I'm endorsed with Intune guitar picks.
Okay.
And I was using heavier picks for a while, but I have an issue with my upper. I got all kind of issues. Upper spine.
We all do.
And which is causing numbness, and it's a little easier on the numbness with the lighter pick.
Huh.
So, and, you know, I go to the chiropractor, I have a cyst on my lower back, torn right rotator cuff, you know. Right now, a bad respiratory thing, but I'll hobble through it somehow.
Does that change how you play, specifically to, like, the pinch nerves and, like, how you play the instrument?
I mean, I can't really do anything different. It's like singing and playing. I'm in a kind of a position like this so I can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's probably, it's not so much from like this, it's more of like the position I'm standing in an hour a night,
yeah,
which is really not healthy. You know? But I have to do what I have to do.
Yeah, well, right on. We appreciate it. And before I let you go, I know you glanced on it. What are the tunings exactly that you're using for
crowbar? We're tuning B standard. So this is from sixth to first. It's B, E, A, D, F sharp, B. And we dropped to A on some stuff too.
Yeah.
Songs.
And it's a shorter scale too. And so yeah. I guess you compensate that with the thicker strings.
Yeah. I mean, all the guys that work on guitars for me are like, dude, your guitars are really made killer and it holds the tuning well. I mean, it's no different than playing a E standard with eights or something.
Yeah.
You know, something really light. So to me anyway, but yeah, it's pretty much the rig, man. It's pretty simple.
Well, killer, Kirk. I appreciate your time, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
I appreciate you. And
thank all y'all for all y'all support.
You'll be seeing a lot of Kirk this year on tour.
Yes. We'll be home Saturday.
Hey everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
All right, now we're joined by Pat. Pat, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Real good, man. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
I know you're a busy guy with all the bands that you're in, so I appreciate that you make some time to talk to us about your crowbar setup. Talk to me about the bass.
Okay, the bass I've had since about 2005.
Wow.
It's an old Phoenix 2 bass, which is like kind of a copied model of the Thunderbird, you know?
Yeah.
But it's got the reverse headstock. This is like the higher end. The deluxe is what you want from these. It's an LTD. ESP makes them. And it's just a workhorse, solid, reliable.
You got the EMGs.
The EMG pickups kicking.
Have you been using, so I assume those came with it in 2005?
Yes, they did. They came stock with the bass, as is, right out the box. And, it's good. quality-wise, and it's not as expensive. If you were to buy one, it'd be a cheaper brand, cheaper, lower price, and but just reliable. It's like if you're doing a lot of touring like we do, you know, we have, you know, no days off hardly, and just solid show after show after show after show.
Yeah, two shows yesterday.
Two shows yesterday. Like almost, we survived out of three the whole tour. But taking these two bases, I got a backup. I mean, it's you don't want to bring all your expensive good shit out because, you know, it'll get ruined or something happens.
Or go missing,
then you'd be heartbroken. So I bring these out because they're reliable and solid, and they sound good, you know?
Have you been using active pickups for 20 years, or was that kind of when you got this bass is when you made that change?
Right. Well, 12 years ago when I was in Crow Bar back then, that's when I got these for Crow Bar. And, they were always active. You know, the old screw-in, the 9-volt battery. Now they have them where you can switch them out without the screws. But, I mean, it sounds great. I could play both. I have my other ones as passive pickups. But, I mean, to me, this has got a hotter sound. It's a lot more attack. It seems to be more like, sharper. I don't know, for some reason. Hmm. You know, I liked it. I switched one day and I stuck with it. But, yeah, most of the time for Crow Bar, we always played with EMG pickups.
Got it.
You know, stuff like that, battery pickups.
Yeah.
Active.
Now, can you tell me about the amp and then the cab here we got?
Well, for the amp, it's a dark glass. My microtube's 900 watt, and it pushes some badass. You could blend everything real easy with it. It's reliable. Everyone has been using them. They talked me into doing it because, you know, I have an Ike head, but the story with the Ike head is it seems to be so frequency sensitive towards whether it's too much compression or too much going on with the pedal board, which I kind of had going and everything. And I mean, I use the Ikes for down mainly.
Okay.
You know, as far as the heads. And they're great heads, and it's a 1,000-watt head. This is 900-watt. But this thing here, I started using it in the UK tour this last month we were out there, and it just sounded good. I just liked the way the distortion already came with a nice overdrive tone to it. You can blend it real nice and easy. And it sounds good mixed with the Tech 21 at Stans amp that I use.
So you like make a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You got the peanut butter and you got the jelly down here.
Gives you the best of both worlds if you need a little kick and a little more hot, spicy, you know, you can add it.
EQ here at the bands, or at least the six band you got here, it's pretty flat.
Yeah, it's pretty flat because if you listen, it's like, it's already got the low end. See, I got a lot of going with it because I like it like that. But
there's a lot of volume and headroom. You know what I mean? It's not just crunch. It's,
right. It brings in the low end. So I figure with that there, with the way these strings are and the way the tone is already coming through this size cab, it's a good blend and it works out good for me. Still carries the low end with the, you know, you got a compressor right here.
Yeah, you
here
got the compressor pretty pushed.
For some good, sustain, because we do a lot of songs that have sustain, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to go with what is reliable out here with no days off and touring constantly like we do. We got to have stuff that just doesn't shit the bed when you're on stage.
You guys are rough on each other in terms of, like, your scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know how we do this.
You got to talk to the boss.
I'm on autopilot right now as we speak, to be honest with you.
Me too, Pat. Right.
So we know.
Well, tell me about the cab, because it looks like a conventional 8x10, but there's a lot going on in here, right?
Yes. This thing here is called the XL cab. And we'll go ahead and pull these mics back. We got the tones happening, or y'all already heard that, so we're good on that. But this is where I show you the secrets.
The big reveal.
All right, so what we have is the speakers on this thing are enormous. You got two 15s, you know, two 12s, and 410, 410s and tweeters. And you got that scoop at the bottom to, for that air to push. But it's basically a bass PA speaker. So everything you need right there. It's easy to mix for live performance and everything, and reliable. And I was really just, like I said, I was just after the Ike amps.
Yeah.
And the 1,000 watt they had. And he goes, oh, have you checked out our cabinets? Have you seen our XL cabs? And I said, no, what's that about? And so then he sent me a picture of it and a description and all this. And I go, what the hell, man? I said, that is fucking crazy. You know, I mean.
It's like if Marty McFly had a bass player, this would be his bass.
Yeah, exactly. So it turned into this, okay, well, what do you do for a price? Because you got to get shipping and all that. Well, they sent me one, and I plugged it in. I've been in love with it ever since. It's just, if I can fit it in the club, if it's not too small, I use it every night. So, but it's stupid fucking awesome.
It moves air, I mean, it really moves hair, and if I had some, it'd be moving, trust me. Because I can see my spine,
they
can
make
feel it.
They make the baseboards, so kind of got started with that, because, you know, Rex Brown from Pantera was using them. And, so their sound guy, Eddie, which is our sound guy for Down as well, turned me on to it. And I goes, fuck, let's do it. Let's talk to these guys, you know? And they're really super over there. Great guys, a German company. So if you're into big cabs, it's 13 inches taller than an SVT cab. So yeah, it gives you everything you need. So you won't go
wrong.
Are you
in charge of moving this?
Yeah, I am. Matt said, to this day, Matt will never help me with it ever.
What a guy.
He goes, that's on you, dude. I'm not helping you. You're on your own on that one. So I said, all right, fine, you know, whatever.
So how does this look compared to the downrig or even what you do in St. Vitus? You know, how does this look compared to those two other bands?
Well, this actually, with Down, I now use this.
Okay.
I have another one just like it. So one on each side of the drum riser.
And you said the Ike amps come with it, so that's down rigged too.
Yeah, I get the whole setup for Down is different than Crowbar, because we use a little, I use Rickenbacker basses for that, for Down.
4001s?
Yeah. And with a different blend of things going on with that. But for this, it's just simple. And I think simpler is the best is where I'm at. You know? Because that's less shit you got to troubleshoot and figure out, and if something goes wrong and you got people out here bought tickets, this doesn't look good when you're trying to oh shit, my shit don't work, you know. So, you know, if we don't have a crew like we don't, it's easier just to simplify it for yourself.
Yeah,
you know? So that's basically what I do.
Doing the math that way. Yeah. Tell me about your strings. What strings are you using?
Strings, I use DR strings, been using them ever since. I used to talk with Tony, you know, got hooked up with him, and he's moved on to a different position in the company, but still does work for the company. He's great people over there. I use a pack of 5-gauge strings, and it's 130, 105, and the other two I can't remember, but they're like.
So it's a 5-string, but taking.
Yeah, you take away the high-ended strings.
Yep.
And throw that bitch away, and you got everything you need to tune down to B standard. And occasional songs we do, I tune down to drop A on the E string for low, you know. So.
And are you ever using a pick with Crowbar?
No, I'm always finger player. Always have been.
Even with Down and
right,
same
even
vibes.
With Down.
Yeah.
You know, it's all fingers. I'm old school like that. You know.
What do you dig about that? Just kind of.
I think it's, you know, and I've gotten older and more open-minded on that. I don't think it's wrong. I think certain bands, you couldn't do fast picking properly with the attack that you need with just your fingers. Like Pantera can't be done. You need a guy with that.
Like Rex.
Rex is a cannon. So
that
motherfucker, you know, get down on it on the fucking pick. That's fits that, you know. I could never go and do that with just playing my fingers. It couldn't be that tight. It's always that lag, that behind, half a second behind of every little staccato note you pick, you know. It's like there's that little overlap that with your fingers, whereas the pick is more precise, you know. I'm not opposed to, I could play both. I just am better with my fingers because I've done it for so long.
Yeah, know,
so.
I've seen certain during soundcheck, you're very dexterous.
Yes, I worked at that, you know. Like I said, I just decided to, everybody else that was killing was doing it. I should try it out, and I really felt more natural for me. So I still get the job done with it, you know.
Yeah, man.
Without a pick.
If anything, you got four picks.
That's it. That's it.
Well, Pat, four. I'm going to talk to Matt, and thank you, man.
Right.
I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate everything you've done, man.
Me. Anytime, yeah. Buddy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Drink beer.
Hell yeah. All right. Last but not least, we're joined by Matt. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks appreciate for having, allowing us to come on stage, crash the soundtrack, yeah, and talk
anytime,
to you.
Anytime. Yeah.
So how did you get into the world that is Grill Bar? How did you get introduced to the guys?
Oh, man. So I've known Kirk forever, and it was probably, I mean, I've been in the band like 20 years now. So even before
you're
that.
You're still the new guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Pat comes
well,
and goes.
Yeah. We had like a door there, but no, so like I had known him for a while, just like playing in local bands. We'd opened up for Crowbar a few times, and we had like liked a lot of the same musicians, guitar players, and I'm a bit younger than him, and he was kind of like blown away a little bit by the fact that like I listened to the same music, knew the same players. So we started hanging out, and eventually we started living together, and he was like, man, do you want to help me? Like, so Sever the Wicked Hand, like the demos and everything, was just me, like the pre-production was me and a four track.
Oh wow.
And we had like just the old weighted metronome. We're just like laying guitar tracks down and putting stuff together. And he's like, well man, do you want to come to the jam room and just help us like get the sound together and everything? And then one night we were just like Red Baron in the oven, like cracking a beer, and he goes he's like, dude, you're in the band. So it was pretty organic, but I just kind of, and I jammed with him a little bit before. Steve Gibb had some show, there were some shows that he couldn't do.
Yeah.
And so they called me and I filled in. And so I'd already played with them a little bit. And so fast forward like 6 months, Steve decided to move on.
Yeah.
And it was just really a simple transition. Yeah.
Man, I really do feel this, and I know that I'm beating a dead horse, but it feels like the NOLA music, specifically to like, you know, this doom, heavy metal stuff, the community is so tight, and there's like no ego, there's no tension. It's just like whoever can help each other out.
Exactly. You know, and we, like I said, we all know each other. So being out on the road with these guys is super easy with the Ahiga guys. I mean, we all know, it's like hanging out. It's like being in high school or something, you know?
Yeah. In between cuts, you guys are kind of ripping at each other. It feels like high school reunion in a way.
That's all it is. I mean, it's tough love, but it's love. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. Well, talking of love, I'm sure you love this Dean. Tell me all about it.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is Donald. This is my Dean Exile. I believe it's the Select. So we've got burl, poplar top, alder body, maple neck, rosewood board. It's got the EMG, the 57 and the 66, like more the vintage voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got coil taps. I really don't use them with Crowbar, obviously, but if I wanted to use them for a session, it's cool, and a five-way switch. I also have one that's real similar, and I think it might have been like a prototype or something, because it's got the jacks on the side here, almost like a gem, and it had three-way switch. So, you know.
Yeah, show that top off to the camera, because that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I get more comments about this guitar than anything else.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a screamer, especially
the top.
It.
Yeah, it looks really cool, man, so yeah.
What was the decision to go with the 57 and 66?
It's what came in it.
Oh, there you go. And, decision made.
Yeah. So, and honestly, it is really cool just to have more of that kind of vintage tone, because there's so much gain coming out of the amp.
Yeah.
That I don't want to add signal, you know, or noise to the signal.
Okay.
You know, just have something that kind of just gives me a little more of a cleaner sound from the guitar. I don't need to load the front end of this with more, you know, some crazy like 19K double magnet wild thing, and then go into this, and then it's just way too chaotic.
Yeah,
it's chaotic as it is, you know. I don't need to make it any more, you know, complicated.
Now, as much as Kirk, you know, is a old school guy, six string guitar, he is playing the quad cortex, you're playing the Kemper, which we'll get to in a second, but did you sneak the seven string into the band?
Well, I've been using one forever.
Okay.
You know, ever since I think I got my first one I ever got, it was like 1996 or something like that, you know, or something around there when they kind of started making them again. I just wanted to check it out because I really hate the way that the six string plays with the real heavy strings tuned down. It never felt right. Wound G string, not a fan. They just like annihilate the frets. It's just, I never was into it or the way it felt. And I played them for a little, six strings for a little while with Crowbar. And then finally I was like, you know what, man, let me go back to the seven. And the a lot of people, like, it freaks a lot of people out. The only thing I do is I just tune the G down to F sharp.
Okay.
Just down a half step, and I don't really use the high E. So basically my guitar is tuned exactly how his is, you know. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
Half step down on the G, and we're right there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, can we hear it, and then you can tell us about what you're kind of modeling inside the cabinet. I love heavy music. I just love how
it's
just sounds,
like, you know, it's like Breaking Wind is or something. You
yeah,
know? It's
dude.
Like,
it's, so under the hood, what are you modeling for the inside the Kemper?
So this is the Diesel VH4.
Okay.
And it's just a stock patch. There's no, you know, nothing special. Like a lot of people are asking me, oh man, I need that capture. I'm like, dude, if you have this thing or you have the version one, because this is the MK2.
Okay.
I know we talked previously. I'm not really sure what the difference is between this one and the previous model. But man, it can be as shallow as deep as you'd like it to be.
Yeah.
You can plug in and play right away, or if you want to tinker with stuff, it's got so many cool little amps. At home I teach guitar, so
okay.
I'll, you know, not really using this. I've just got like an AC30 pulled up just teaching guys, but you can go from that to something really screaming really quick. But yeah, it's just the stock Diesel VH4. And of course, adjust it for room to room.
Are you hitting anything? Because I know Kirk's known for putting like a Tube Screamer or a Tube Screamer patch in front of his to push it.
No, this is just the stock.
The
VH4. Yeah. So if you've got this thing, you've got the same thing I'm using, just straight off the bat. So yeah, it's really easy. It's I use the onboard tuner as well. So nothing on the floor.
Nothing.
Which is great. It's too easy, and even till this day, I always think I'm forgetting something on loadout, because I'm used to having, you know, two 5150s plus tuner pedal plus a Tube Screamer if I needed it. You know, like if you get into a building and the power was kind of shot, you know, I'd want to boost it a little bit. So having all that extra stuff, like still till this day, I rack this thing and it's on the floor and I'm like, all right, let me make sure I didn't forget anything.
Dummy check.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, just for ease of use, plus it sounds really good, you know? Well, and it's come a long way, like all the profiling and everything.
Yeah. Now, when did you make the switch to the digital stuff? You alluded to the 5150 being...
Yeah. Technically, probably like a little more than a year ago.
Okay.
Around that time, because Kirk started fooling with the quad, and he's like, dude, just use my Kemper, because he uses the Kemper. He's got the
backup
version
there.
One as the backup.
Yeah.
Especially when we went to Europe, I started using that, and I fell in love with it, because at first I was like, I don't know, you know, it's like, you know, digital tubes or whatever. A very, very kind of archaic attitude towards it, but I was like, you know what, man, let me give it a shot. And it really has a great tone to it. All the patches are awesome. And it just, it really kind of emulates those sounds really well without having to fork out the cash for it, you know. I mean, these things aren't cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than having a Diesel and then having the Engel and then all the other amps, you know. Just the fact that it has a Dumble in it, it's worth the money alone.
No joke.
So
I mean, for me it'd be even the VH4 just because of how expensive that is, alone.
No, absolutely, man. And then, of course, the Sonic Tone Cab. I don't know if Kirk had told you about that, but it's a company that we use in New Orleans. And, man, it's pretty awesome. And the only thing that's different on that is in the back, we've got the Speak-On connector.
Okay.
As opposed to just a regular quarter inch, because, as you know, sometimes with the heavy tuning and the volume and all the low end, it can push that thing out.
Yeah.
And it'll cut out. You know, it'll boop right out the back. So now it's like we lock it in with the Speak-On connector and it's not going anywhere. So
smart move.
Yeah.
And vintage 30s like Kirk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically he's got I think he's got four of these for his down rig, and we just bring the two out. We're gonna step up the production a little bit, you know, in the coming tours and stuff like that. So we'll have more stuff on stage. You know, you don't really need more.
No.
But, you know,
it looks cool.
Yeah. Looks cool. And hopefully by that point, we'll have somebody else to carry it for us.
Yeah.
You know, we're all getting old, man.
So. He's got muscles.
Pat's used to carrying that big, heavy thing, man. We'll burden him with some more stuff, man.
Well, Matt, could you riff us on out of here?
Yeah, man. Let's
give
do
some
something.
Riff.